So we thank you, Lord, for your word today and for this beautiful feast of the birth of John the Baptist. We thank you, Lord, that you speak your word to us and call us forward. We praise your name. So yes, it's a wonderful celebration, the birth of John the Baptist. Everybody likes a birthday. But you know, your birthday was even more wonderful. You say that can't be true. Well, yes, it's in the scriptures. Because Jesus said that no greater man has been born than John the Baptist. But even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's you and I. So when you were born, it was even more significant than the birth of John the Baptist. We've got it from the lips of Jesus. Because you are a child of the kingdom of God. And that gives you immense dignity. So John the Baptist's birth is for us a model of how we are to be, we who have been brought into something greater than John the Baptist experienced. And so we look, as the readings help us to look, at the fact that from the moment of his conception, John was destined for greatness. From the moment of his conception. Remember, Zechariah was in the sanctuary of the temple and he'd had a barren wife. They'd not produced children. And the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah and says, "You're going to have a child. And his name will be John." And Zechariah sort of chuckled a bit and sort of said, "You're kidding. We're past the age." And so he was struck dumb. You don't mess with angels. And Elizabeth conceives miraculously. And she has John in her womb. Now God had acted powerfully to bring about that conception. But every conception is a beautiful action of God. When you were conceived, it was a moment of grace from God. As much as we know about the science of it all, we know that it's really God's work that brings about this wonderful moment of conception. And that's why every child in the womb is so precious and unique and beautiful and must be protected in every way. And even in the womb, John had already destiny written over him. He already had purpose that he knew intuitively, as it were, as a child in the womb. How do we know that? Well, when Jesus was being carried in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary across the Judean hillside, and Mary greeted Elizabeth, who was already 6 months pregnant with John, the child in her womb leapt for joy. John was already recognizing the purpose for which he had come, to be the one who foretold the Messiah. He had a purpose given by God. And what we're meant to understand is you too have a purpose. That's why we had the text from the Psalm tells us that even in the womb, you were knit together by God. God was at work fashioning you in your mother's womb. And he had a purpose for you, as he did for John the Baptist. And each one of us in our life, the challenge is to discover the purpose, to discover the unique vocation that God has for you. It says in Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, says the Lord, I knew you. Before you came to birth, I consecrated you." And he's speaking to you. You say, oh, not me. No, somebody else. No, but you. You are precious in the sight of God, and he has a personal call on your life, as he does on each one of us. And much of life's journey is discovering that and living it out under the will of God. And then we see the beautiful birth of John the Baptist, which is in the gospel account today. And when he's finally comes to birth, the relatives gather and they say, what are you going to call him, Zechariah, after his father? And Elizabeth said, no, his name will be John, which means the gift of God's graciousness, that God is gracious. You see, he born under the purpose of God, a man of destiny, knows the graciousness of God, that all is God's gift, that life itself is a gift, and then the purpose that God has written into our lives is a gift as well. And he has written the purpose and the destiny into your life, as he has into mine. And it's a bit of a mystery, but he has chosen us from the very beginning. Before the world was formed, we're told in Ephesians, you know, he chose us to be his very own. And our baptism celebrated that most fully and brought us into this experience of being children of the kingdom of God. And of course, Zechariah agreed with the name, John. You know, he wrote it on the scripture, and then, of course, he got his voice back again, and he lets out this incredible cry of joy and thanksgiving for this child that's been given to them, and this work of God and his mighty power that's come to visit them in such a beautiful way. I'm not sure what happened at your birth, whether there was a mighty cry that went out from your dad, I'm not sure. I don't know what happened, but there should have been. And there should have been great rejoicing. And certainly there was great rejoicing in heaven over you. As there is over every human being who is born because of the unique dignity that each person has. There's no one else like you on the face of the earth. And there'll never be anyone else like you for the rest of the human existence. Like, you are unique. And you have a unique destiny in God and a purpose in him. And he loves you intensely. He calls you forward into the purpose that he has for you. And so we look at John the Baptist, and we see that he had that sense of vocation, personal vocation, as he moves in his adult life. He becomes more and more aware of what God has asked of him and how God is sending him and how God has formed him for a particular reason. And that's so for each one of us, that we can discover God's personal call upon our lives. And it does require a humility of heart. Humility is about truth. And John the Baptist had that. Now, when people started to say to him as he was starting to move into his ministry, people sort of saying, oh, you must be the Messiah. And he says, a man can claim only what is given him from heaven, and I haven't been given that. You see, and that's what we must know. What has been given to me from on high? What has been given to me for my purpose in life to be fulfilled? For the destiny that God has written into my very being, what to be fulfilled? What has been given to me? And then live out of that grace. Live out of that gift of God that is upon you. That's the great and wonderful way to live our lives fully. Because Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. Not so just a half life, but a full life. But notice with John the Baptist, to be able to fulfill his destiny, to be able to live out the purpose that God had given him to live, he had to deny himself. And that's where the rub comes, isn't it? And for John, it was to go out into the desert and sort of live on locusts and wild honey and things like that, you know, and have a camel hair shirt or something. But like, whatever it is, there's certain things we have to let go of to be able to fulfill our destiny. There are certain things we have to renounce and not have part of anymore. But the Lord will show us those things we need to say no to so we can make the full yes to God's will in our life. Those things that need to be passed over so that we can transcend the selfish instinct that is within us and take hold of the fullness of what God wants for us in life. And make those sort of choices, life choices, choices that are for the purpose of God rather than for our own selfish gain. And life's like that. We need to deny ourselves so we can have the fullness of what God offers to us, as did John the Baptist. And I think it's important too for us to see that with John the Baptist, he had this very deep realization that the greatest joy that he could experience was being able to, in some way, be an instrument of connecting the bridegroom with the bride. He's a friend of the bridegroom. That's how he speaks of himself. The bridegroom being Christ, and the bride being the church and all those who need to be in relationship with the bridegroom. And he said that's his joy. And his work, sort of in a sense, is complete once the bridegroom connects with the bride. That's the real joy, is in being other-centered, wanting to see the goodness of God come into the lives of others, wanting to see Christ himself come into the lives of others. This is the great joy. And then John went on to say, he must increase, that's Christ must increase, and I must decrease. I'll disappear, as it were, and not be self-promoting in any way, but I'll see Christ increase in my own life and in the life of others. That's how I'll fulfill my purpose. Now, for each one of us, that will mean something different. But certainly, for each one of us, Christ is the joy. Christ is the ultimate reason for our living. Christ is the purpose, ultimately, for each one of us. But it'll get worked out differently in each one's journey. But Christ is at the centre. He must increase and I must decrease. And allow that to happen. And with John the Baptist too, what you notice is that he's willing to pay the price to witness to the truth. When Herod took his brother Philip's wife, not accepting the sanctity of marriage, that's sort of relevant today, isn't it? Then John stood against that and spoke the truth to Herod, consequently thrown into prison and ultimately lost his head. He paid the ultimate price to witness to the truth. And each one of us, whatever the Lord will do with our personal lives, whatever he will show us is our particular calling, it will always involve standing for the truth. And sometimes that will be very uncomfortable. And we'd prefer to sort of not do that. But God will give us the grace to fulfill the purpose he has for us in witnessing to the truth. It's a mystery how God works with us, isn't it? You know, I'm thinking at the moment of one of our brothers, under the missionary of God's love brothers. I tell you this story because it really touched me. It just may illustrate a little bit of what I'm talking about, that God has a purpose. And it's not, of course, the purpose for each one of you to become a missionary of God's love, obviously. But I tell you his story because it sort of touched me. This is Chris Kerwick, who doesn't mind me sharing this. He made his final vows here a couple of years ago. Some of you might have been there. And it was a wonderful celebration because when a man decides to give his life completely to God without any conditions, in poverty, celibacy and obedience, it was a very big moment. And we all celebrated it with great joy. His mother and father came down from Queensland for it. And they travelled by road. It was a very taxing trip. His mother was dying of cancer. And this was probably one of the last things that she wanted to do, was to come to this. And Dad didn't want to travel by plane, so they had to come by car, which was a very big journey for them. And she was struggling in the pain of her cancer. But on the day, she was radiant, just radiant. And afterwards, when we had a cup of tea, I went up to her and I said, look, it's meant so much to Chris that you came for this day. And she said, Father, you don't know how much it meant. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, when Chris was a little boy, just after he was born, he had a respiratory problem. And it looked like we were going to lose him. And I said to the Lord, if you save him, I'll give him to you. And you can have him. And she said, I haven't told anyone this yet. You're the first one I'm telling. But that mother's love and that mother's offering, you know, and the sense of the Lord's anointing upon the young kid, you know. And now she was able to disclose it. That all those years that she'd held that this knowledge that she'd given her son to the Lord. You see, for each one of us, there is a purpose. And oftentimes, parents have an insight into that, but they need to be careful to have their hands off it. As she never told Chris all that time until after he finally made his vows, because she didn't want to influence in any way. It had to be God. Right? But God does have a purpose for each one of us, and he wants to disclose it to us. And maybe tonight you'll have a deeper insight that God will give to you of how he wants to use you for the sake of his kingdom, how he wants to call you forward in the way that maybe you haven't been called forward before. He wants to open your heart to him more deeply so that he will increase and you will decrease in that sense that you will allow the Lord to have his way with you. You allow him to move in your life as he wants to move in your life. But maybe you've had a blockage there. And you'll let go of the things that are holding you back from the greatness that he has for you. Because each one of here is called to greatness. Now, John the Baptist was great. But Jesus says that even the least in the kingdom of heaven. So you might think you're the least one here. But you're greater than John the Baptist. So let's stand up in our greatness. Let's allow the Lord to gift us in the way that he's calling us. Let's allow him to use us in the way he wants to use us for his purposes in whatever our situation is. And not to be afraid. But let God, who knit you together in your mother's womb, who consecrated you in your mother's womb, you know, who was there at your birth and rejoiced over you as a loving father, who has fostered you and cared for you all these years, who has been with you all through all the struggles and all the difficulties, and he's still with you, and at this time and this season in your life, he's still calling you forward. And maybe there's a lot of you that's resisted something of his call upon you, for one reason or another. Out of fear, or maybe just a sense of busyness and being preoccupied with many things, but God now wants to gently and lovingly call you forward in a new way. In this particular season in your life, because there are all sorts of different seasons in God's calling upon our lives. But this could be the moment. And so I wanted to give you that opportunity that to open to the Lord on this birthday of John the Baptist, that we'll all celebrate our own birthdays and the purpose and destiny that God has for each one of us. And we'll be wanting tonight and open ourselves more to the grace that God has given for that purpose so that we can go forward in him under that grace. So I just thought that there might be some who particularly that message spoke to And if there are, it's just a moment to just sort of step forward and say, okay, Lord, I really want to go forward in you. I know you've got more for me in life than this point. So much has happened already. But now, Lord, I know there's a further step to go in the unfolding of the purpose that you have for me. And I don't fully have it worked out, Lord, but I'm saying to you, I surrender to you, and you take me, Lord. You do it. You do it, Lord. And I'll be cooperative and ready. So if you sort of have a sense that maybe that's you, then just to sort of come out, and I'll pray with you just very briefly, just as a way of responding to that call. And thanks. We might have a bit of music. Thanks, Lorraine. That'd be great. So just don't be afraid to come and just open up that. So Lord, we really thank you that you've called each one here to yourself. Dear Jesus, we pray that your revelation would come to each. Lord, as we come with surrendered heart, yielded to you and to your purpose for our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we're not just a piece of flotsam and jetsam washed along the top of the ocean of life, but rather, Lord, we're anchored in you. And we find our strength and our purpose, and we find, Lord, a reason for living in you. Lord, help us to know the next steps that you'd have us take. Help us to know, Lord, the way that you would lead us forward. And give us the grace, Lord, to be able to step into that, whatever it is that you're asking of us. We thank you, Lord. You're a precious God. You are gracious, Lord. You've gifted us with life. You've gifted us with this unique gift of being who we are in you. Lord, take us forward in you. We trust our lives into your hands. We thank you and bless your name, Lord. I pray for each one here, Lord, that your spirit be upon each person. And through this Mass, Lord, that each one of us would just be taken forward by you and ready to, for all the energies of our being, Lord, to give of ourselves in a sacrificial way, in the way that you are asking and you are leading. We thank you and glorify your name. Praise you, Jesus. Good Lord.